Reading 3. Nicholas Snyders sprang to his feet.
I am myself, he cried, and intend to remain myself. Who dares say I am not myself?
I do, retorted the dame with exasperating coolness. Nicholas Snyders is not himself when at the bidding of a pretty-faced doll he flings his money out of the window with both hands. He is a creature bewitched, and I am sorry for him. She'll fool you for the sake of her friends till you haven't a cent left, and then she'll laugh at you. When you are yourself, Nicholas Snyders, you will be crazy with yourself. Remember that. And Dame Turlust marched out and slammed the door behind her. Girls for boys, and old women for old men. The phrase kept ringing in his ears. Hitherto, his newfound happiness had filled his life, leaving no room for thought. But the old dame's words had sown the seed of reflection. Was Christina fooling him? The thought was impossible. Never once had she pleaded for herself, never once for Jan. The evil thought was the creature of Dame Turlast's evil mind. Christina loved him. Her face brightened at his coming. The fear of him had gone out of her. A pretty tyranny had replaced it. But was it the love that he sought? Jan's soul in old Nick's body was young and ardent. It desired Christina not as a daughter, but as a wife. Could it win her, in spite of old Nick's body? The soul of Jan was an impatient soul. Better to know than to doubt. Do not light the candles. Let us talk a little by the light of the fire only, said Nicholas. And Christina, smiling, drew her chair towards the blaze. But Nicholas sat in the shadow.
You grow more beautiful every day, Christina, said Nicholas. Sweeter and more womanly. He will be a happy man who calls you wife.
The smile passed from Christina's face.
I shall never marry, she answered.
Never is a long word, little one.
A true woman does not marry the man she does not love.
But may she not marry the man she does? Smiled Nicholas.
Sometimes she may not,
Christina explained.
And when is that?
Christina's face was turned away.
When he has ceased to love her.
The soul in old Nick's body leapt with joy.
He is not worthy of you, Christina. His new fortune has changed him. Is it not so? He thinks only of money. It is as though the soul of a miser had entered into him. He would marry even Dame Turlast for the sake of her gold bags and her broad lands and her many mills, if only she would have him. Cannot you forget him?
I shall never forget him. I shall never love another man. I try to hide it, and often I am content to find there is so much in the world that I can do. But my heart is breaking.
She rose and, kneeling beside him, clasped her hands around him.
I am glad you have let me tell you, she said. But for you, I could not have borne it. You are so good to me.
For answer, he stroked with his withered hand the golden hair that fell disordered about his withered knees. She raised her eyes to him. They were filled with tears, but smiling.
I cannot understand, she said. I think sometimes that you and he must have changed souls. He is hard and mean and cruel, as you used to be.
She laughed, and the arms around him tightened for a moment.
And now you are kind and tender and great as once he was. It is as if the good God had taken away my lover from me to give to me a father.
Listen to me, Christina, he said. It is the soul that is the man, not the body. Could you not love me for my new soul?
But I do love you,
answered Christina, smiling through her tears.
Could you, as a husband?
The firelight fell upon her face. Nicholas, holding it between his withered hands, looked into it long and hard, and reading what he read there, laid it back against his breast and soothed it with his withered hand.
I was jesting, little one, he said. Girls for boys and old women for old men.
And so, in spite of all, you still love Jan.
I love him, answered Christina. I cannot help it.
And if he would, you would marry him, let his soul be what it may.
I love him, answered Christina. I cannot help it.
Old Nicholas sat alone before the dying fire. Is it the soul or the body that is the real man? The answer was not so simple as he had thought it. Christina loved Jan, so Nicholas mumbled to the dying fire, when he had the soul of Jan. She loves him still, though he has the soul of Nicholas Snyders. When I asked her if she could love me, it was terror I read in her eyes, though Jan's soul is now in me. She divined it. It must be the body that is the real Jan, the real Nicholas. If the soul of Christina entered into the body of Dame Turlast, should I turn from Christina, from her golden hair, her fathomless eyes, her asking lips, to desire the shriveled carcass of Dame Turlast? No, I should still shudder at the thought of her. Yet when I had the soul of Nicholas Snyders, I did not loathe her, while Christina was naught to me. It must be with the soul that we love, else Jan would still love Christina, and I should be miser Nick. Yet here am I, loving Christina, using Nicholas Snyder's brain and gold to thwart Nicholas Snyder's every scheme, doing everything that I know will make him mad when he comes back into his own body, while Jan cares no longer for Christina, would marry Dame Turlast for her broad lands, her many mills. Clearly, it is the soul that is the real man. Then ought I not to be glad, thinking I am going back into my own body, knowing that I shall wed Christina? But I am not glad. I am very miserable. I shall not go with Jan's soul, I feel it. My own soul will come back to me. I shall be again the hard, cruel, mean old man I was before, only now I shall be poor and helpless. The folks will laugh at me, and I shall curse them, powerless to do them evil. Even Dame Turlast will not want me when she learns all. And yet I must do this thing. So long as Jan's soul is in me, I love Christina better than myself. I must do this for her sake. I love her. I cannot help it. Old Nicholas rose, took from the place where a month before he had hidden it, the silver flask of cunning workmanship. Just 2 more glassfuls left, mused Nicholas, as he gently shook the flask against his ear. He laid it on the desk before him, then opened once again the old green ledger, for there still remained work to be done. He woke Christina early.
Take these letters, Christina, he commanded. When you have delivered them all, but not before, go to Jan. Tell him I am waiting here to see him on a matter of business.
He kissed her, and seemed loath to let her go.
I shall only be a little while, smiled Christina.
All partings take but a little while, he answered.
Old Nicholas had foreseen the trouble he would have. Jan was content, had no desire to be again a sentimental young fool, eager to saddle himself with a penniless wife. Jan had other dreams.
"Drink, man, drink!" cried Nicholas impatiently, "before I am tempted to change my mind. Christina, provided you marry her, is the richest bride in Zaandam. There is the deed. Read it, and read quickly."
Then Jan consented, and the two men drank. And there passed a breath between them as before. And Jan, with his hands, covered his eyes a moment. It was a pity, perhaps, that he did so, for in that moment Nicholas snatched at the deed that lay beside Jan on the desk. The next instant it was blazing in the fire.
"Not so poor as you thought," came the croaking voice of Nicholas. "Not so poor as you thought. I can build again. I can build again."
And the creature, laughing hideously, danced with its withered arms spread out before the blaze, lest Jan should seek to rescue Christina's burning dowry before it was destroyed. Jan did not tell Christina. In spite of all Jan could say, she would go back. Nicholas Snyders drove her from the door with curses. She could not understand. The only thing clear was that Jan had come back to her.
"'Twas a strange madness that seized upon me," Jan explained. "Let the good sea breezes bring us health."
So, from the deck of Jan's ship, they watched old Zaandam till it vanished into air. Christina cried a little at the thought of never seeing it again, but Jan comforted her, and later new faces hid the old. And old Nicholas married Dame Turlast, but, happily, lived to do evil only for a few years longer. Long after, Jan told Christina the whole story, but it sounded very improbable, and Christina, though of course she did not say so, did not quite believe it, but thought Jan was trying to explain away that strange month of his life during which he had wooed Dame Turlast. Yet it certainly was strange that Nicholas, for the same short month, had been so different from his usual self. "Perhaps," thought Christina, "if I had not told him I loved Jan, he would not have gone back to his old ways. Poor old gentleman. No doubt, it was despair."